We're exploring how the census is especially crucial for people living in rural parts of the country. It's the morning show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina in for Kate Archer Kent. About 73% of households responded to the last census. Break that down, and it turns out that average is between 75% response in metro counties and 68% response in rural counties. The difference has consequences when it comes to who gets federal funding. Do you participate in the census? How do you think information from the count should affect policies? What are the biggest issues you see in your community? And how could government dollars reallocated make a difference? 800-642-1234. You can email ideas at WPR.org or tweet us at WPR Mornings. John Green is a professor of sociology, and he's director of the University of Mississippi Center for Population Studies. And he recently wrote a piece for the website The Conversation called Why the 2020 Census Matters for Rural Americans. John, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. I'm happy to be here.
Let's kind of ground ourselves in this conversation. Can you begin by explaining the purpose of the census?
Sure. The main purpose of the census and the reason why it's mandated in the Constitution is as it relates to counting people for the purpose of political apportionment in the government. And so that's the main, you know, the main reason and the fact that we do it every 10 years. But in addition to that, the census is used for drawing political boundaries at all levels of government, from local government to state and federal. And then also for making determinations for the allocation of government funding for a variety of different programs. And then the census data are also used for all types of information about what we know in terms of where people live, in terms of rural or urban location. It serves as the backbone for data about a variety of different health statistics. And so it's used not only as a primary source, but also as a kind of background set of data for a wide variety of other estimates and projections.
And this is information that's crucial. It's not necessarily if you have more people there, you'll automatically get more funding from the government or something, right? I mean, how does this data shape policy?
Yeah, that's a great question. So obviously, in terms of the numbers, it's important because some funding is allocated on the basis of population counts, but also it's used to determine need. And so for those of us who do work in rural America, for example, we have to, you know, look at how populations are shifting. We have to look at there's a variety of different rural development programs, as an example. And so making sure that we are, you know, accurately conveying the characteristics of those rural places also matters for the access to that type of support for rural development. So it's not just a matter of which places have the highest population, but really trying to understand the characteristics. And then different programs are oriented towards supporting different types of communities.
And is that why you argue that people living in rural areas and small towns have a lot at stake in this next census?
Yes, absolutely. As was mentioned at the beginning of the program, we tend to have lower participation rates in the census from rural areas, and we want to make sure that, you know, given issues of isolation and different challenges that people living in rural America face, that we have as accurate a count as possible, so that when we look at those programs or we look at political representation, all those different ways in which the census data are used, that we have the best count for rural places as possible.
You mentioned isolation as one piece, being far away from services, from other people. Why does participation tend to be lower in rural areas? I assume there are lots of factors.
Yeah, a great number of researchers are, you know, give attention to this, both within the Census Bureau as well as from our universities and different nonprofit organizations who are very focused on making sure that we have a good census count. And there's a wide variety of different factors that are both, you know, personal or family, community context. But in rural places, two of the things that we're very concerned about is the issue of isolation, And, you know, there's different systems in rural America. For example, when we look at the previous participation rates, one of the indicators that we focus attention to is the mail response, how people responded to the mail version of the census, you know, that was sent out. And we know in some rural communities that the mail system works differently, and so we have to, you know, account for that. Additionally, when we think about rural places, it's really the overlay of rural places that may be isolated geographically, but also that have high poverty rates. And for example, my work in Mississippi, in some of our most rural areas, we also have higher poverty rates and a variety of challenges that go along with that. And so when we look at that overlay, that's in particular the places we want to give special attention to.
So we can see how census participation can contribute to economic status in communities. Does it go the other way? Does economic status in communities tell us about who will respond to the census?
That's a great insight, and the answer is yes, to some extent. We know that places that have higher levels of education, areas that have higher median household incomes or lower poverty rates, those types of characteristics, we tend to see higher participation rates. Now, that's not across the board for all communities, but certainly that's the pattern that we identify. And so, you know, one of the things that's happening in a lot of states is using data both from previous censuses as well as what we know now through other contemporary sources like the American Community Survey to identify those places where we think that the counts might be particularly low, that we can go and give additional attention through outreach, education, building the Census Bureau is using the term trusted voices, which I really like, to say, you know, taking community action to make sure that people participate in the census.
What would you say to people who feel like this sounds like activism? You know, if someone doesn't respond, isn't that their prerogative? Should we really be doing that sort of outreach to get people to participate?
You know, I certainly can understand that perspective, but we have to go back and remember the intent of the census, which is to count all people on American soil. And you know, to the extent that our government, the foundations of our democracy, are based on having that data and informing how our government is shaped, how we make decisions about funding and that sort of thing, that it really is critical that, you know, we live in an information age, and we should be trying to bring as complete a data to government decision-making as possible, as well as for all the other uses of the census that we haven't even talked about, whether it's through businesses, research, what's happening with nonprofit organizations, what's happening through our schools, that we really want to have a commitment and I think a responsibility to bringing accurate information to that. And, you know, recognizing that in some places there are barriers, that it's not just a matter of personal choice on whether or not somebody participates, but there are barriers, some of which we've talked about, and one that's getting more attention with the upcoming 2020 census is broadband and computer access. This will be the first time that that a majority of Americans, it's hoped, will participate in the census online, and so we want to give even more attention to those places that might have lower computer use, lower broadband access. So that's just an example of one of the barriers that goes beyond just a person's feeling about it, but do they actually have the infrastructure local that makes it easy for them to participate?
John Green is director of the University of Mississippi Center for Population Studies. I'm Keely Boltina, and we want to know, have you ever not filled out your census form? Why did you skip it? Maybe you make sure you and your family are always counted. Why does that matter to you? 800-642-1234. Rural areas often mean close-knit small towns. So is there a way to take advantage of that community aspect to educate people about the census?
Absolutely, I think so. And that's one of the leading efforts that we're doing in Mississippi, but that you see nationwide. You know, as I mentioned, there's all kinds of different challenges locally, and they differ across places. And so to the extent that local communities, local government, businesses, civic organizations can get involved with promoting and educating and doing outreach for the census can make a major difference. The census, you know, hires a large number of people, and they have people who are doing kind of community outreach. They have partnership specialists and a real mobilization effort. But we can't and shouldn't, I would argue, rely on the census alone, that within our states and within our local communities, there are things that can be done. And that's one of the things we've been exploring with partners here in Mississippi, is connecting with communities to get the word out and then saying, here are strategies that you can utilize. And the Census Bureau has a great tool for that. They're called complete count committees. Any local community can organize one. States can also form complete count committees. And people can actually go online to the Census Bureau's website and actually find out if there's a complete count committee in their community. And if not, they can start one. And there's materials for how to do that. And it's just a way to bring people together and organize what's going to be our outreach and education messages in our local community.
Professor John Green stays with us as we're talking about how much the 2020 census matters, especially to Americans living in rural parts of the country. 800-642-1234 is the number to call. There's a line for you to talk about the census. Have you seen the number of people in your part of Wisconsin change? Are you gaining neighbors or are people moving away? And what do you think the census data will reveal about your community? Pick up the phone or email ideas at WPR.org. Our conversation continues ahead here on The Morning Show. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're having these discussions right here on the Ideas Network. It's The Morning Show on the Ideas Network. I'm Keely Boltina. Much of the news lately about the census has centered on a question about citizenship and whether including something like that would discourage people from responding. Our guest says people in rural areas, too, should consider how critical an accurate census is to their part of America. Do you live in a small town or out in the country? What are the biggest issues you see in your community? 800-642-1234. Share your thoughts. Let us know if you think people underestimate the importance of the census or if you don't see what the big deal is. Email ideas at WPR.org. Let's take a call now. Tom from Burlington has a question about how the census can help us understand an accurate count. Tom, what are you out wondering this morning?
Well, this is a very important thing, in my opinion, especially in rural areas in Wisconsin. We lost a congressman the last go-around in the census, and Texas picked up 4 congressmen, I believe. Now, that they control Washington, D.C., and they also control our textbooks. Texas makes us, they tell us what kind of textbooks we're supposed to have. Now, we are, the undocumented people are allowed, they're counted, but and these numbers go up, but they can't vote, and it seems like a lopsided thing. We're in some kind of a catch-22 situation here.
I got you, Tom. Yeah, let's talk about that, John. Why is the census designed not to count voters, but to count all of the people living in a particular part of the country?
Very important question. As I mentioned earlier, one of the main purposes is to have a accurate reflection of the population. And of course, one purpose, you know, of that that's been mentioned is the issue of allocation. And certainly there is a perspective that that should focus on voters. But what we have to remember is that the government serves the population of an area. And so when it comes to the resources that are needed, when it comes to the economic activity, when it comes to what it takes to serve a community, all of those factors go in beyond just the voting population. Now, this is definitely an issue that has, you know, caused a great deal of controversy and debate since the founding and since the first census in 1790. And you can imagine at different eras in American history where we've tried to address this issue. What's interesting, and I will point out, is that we do collect data about citizenship, not through the census. The American Community Survey, which was started in the mid-2000s and is officially related to our government counts for all the different things for government spending and so forth that I mentioned, that it does include a citizenship question. And so, you know, the idea is that if you have that on the census form itself, that it can have an impact on who participates, and then we don't have an accurate count. And that's the concern, and that's what the debate is about.
Yeah. Beyond that documentation, though, some people are innately skeptical of the census. You received a comment on your article because someone thought the census was essentially a marketing research for business and industry. So how do we counter this idea, or is there any merit there?
I think it is important to take those concerns and those perspectives very seriously. And one of the main things that both the Census Bureau is trying to do, but others working in organizations such as myself, our Center for Population Studies houses the State Data Center from Mississippi, and there's a State Data Center in every state around the country. And part of what we're trying to do is to help get out the message of what the census is, what it contains, what accurate information on what it's going to ask, and what are the main purposes. So it is true that the public, and that includes everyday citizens, to businesses, to researchers, have access to aggregated census data, and it can be used for a wide variety of business decisions. But the main purpose, again, is as it relates to running the government, and then also not just our political representation, but also our allocation of resources, and the usefulness for planning what's needed in terms of infrastructures and services. And so, you know, we are committed through the state data centers for public access to publicly paid for data. And that includes a wide variety of users. But there are a lot of protections that are in place, and the confidentiality is something that's taken very seriously.
John Green is director of the University of Mississippi Center for Population Studies. I'm Keely Boltina, and we're talking about how important the census is, especially in rural communities. What are your thoughts? 800-642-1234. John, I don't want to let this point go. Kenneth from Janesville couldn't stay with us, but he is wondering about how our privacy is protected in the census. Talked about that data being aggregated, so in big form, big numbers with information stripped from it. But how do we know that the information we're handing over in the census, remains confidential?
The Census Bureau takes that very seriously to the extent that there's actually penalties that include both jail time and monetary fines for people who are working within the census system who would commit any kind of violation. And that's just to emphasize right up front how important this is taken. There's titles under the U.S. Code that protect and prevent the release of identifiable information about individuals, households, businesses, even protecting that that we cannot release that information, or the Census Bureau cannot release that information, even to law enforcement agencies. So it's a very strict set of guidelines, and people can actually go to the Census website and find out that information. There's actually a flyer called the 2020 Census and Confidentiality that outlines what the protections are and what are the codes that protect people's information.
We've heard a lot about population loss in rural areas in recent years, and we wonder how census data can help us better understand the scope of that.
This is, I think, one of the most critical questions that we need to be able to address as it relates to planning and what types of services and infrastructure are needed, as I previously mentioned. There are a lot of different sources of information that we can use to try to estimate what the population is, how it's changing, and so forth. But among all of those tools that we have to use, the census is the bedrock to those data that we compare to and that we look at how they change across time. And if we're concerned about population loss, especially due to, for example, out-migration from rural communities, then we need to be very attentive to the accuracy of those data. We don't want to be, trying to use solutions through community economic development, state policies, federal programs that don't match the needs of a local community. And so having those accurate census data are going to allow us to tailor what approaches we're doing to help communities, thrive and sustain over time.
What are the consequences if rural America doesn't show up for the census?
Well, one issue that has been brought up is as it relates to political representation. That's very important. Places that have, rural populations, if we have an undercount, that affects their political representation. It affects their voice in the political system, and like we said, at various levels, not just nationally, but even within our individual states. And then I think the other issue is that if we're not counted, then the types of resources that might be needed are not going to go to those places. And so as I mentioned, it's not just a matter of how many people, but certainly we have to demonstrate that there are people in rural communities and that information should be used for making these decisions for allocations of dollars.
John, thank you so much for this conversation.
You're welcome. Thank you for having me.
John Green is a professor of sociology. He's also director of the University of Mississippi Center for Population Studies. We've been talking about the role of the census. I'm Keeley Boltina. It's The Morning Show, and you're listening to the Ideas Network.